Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a Way Back Wednesday, and we're here in studio. Barry, on the road, heading to a comedy show somewhere to destinations unknown in the valley. Nick Sciarra filling in for Barry.
I gotta urinate so bad.
I don't think I needed to know that.
You need to know that.
Producer T. Scott behind the glass filling in as he did, thankfully, when Nick was having some issues last week with the flood and the hurricane. So the three of us will carry you through till 4 o'clock.
Yep. Is the traffic getting a little bit better? I think it's a little bit better from yesterday.
Now, the mayor, Lisa just said the mayor issued a statement today on traffic stating that this week was going to be difficult, but hopefully that it would be better next week. And that's big because school's back in next week for a lot of HISD. But traffic was better for me today.
Yep.
It wasn't the Beltway when it log jammed. It started to get a little clogged around Hillcroft coming in from Sugar Land, and then kind of sorted itself out within about a half mile.
Well, now I kind of wish I took 59, because for the past 2 days, I've been getting notifications, and I've been trying to take routes to avoid 59. Now, yesterday, it was absolutely necessary. I mean, it was just...
Yesterday was awful.
It was just logged up. I mean, all the way to... Coming from where we're coming from, for those who don't know, we're both driving from the Sugar Land area.
Yep.
But yeah, today I still avoided 59, but as opposed to taking an hour and 15 minutes to get to work like it did yesterday, it only took me 45 minutes. I don't know how producer T. Scott, aren't you like 10 minutes away? You're really close to the station.
I'm past Meyerland, so I just basically come up Post Oak and then get on 610. And it wasn't bad, but it started backing up right at the Westheimer exit.
Okay.
On 610, and I'm sure it's probably past.
Now, when you drive in, Tyler, can you see with the elevated portion of 610? Can you see like if there's standing water around the bayous and everything?
Oh, no.
Still,
the bayous back to normal
Did
level.
Is it?
Yeah, it's probably 2/3 of the way down the concrete bank.
I actually drove past Meyerland today, and a lot of what you see is dry, but you see everybody's like carpet and sheetrock and stuff outside.
I think yesterday, the day before, I went to go get something to eat, and I drove back through Meyerland, like the neighborhood.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Like in between the bayou and Meyerland Center,
mm-hmm.
and every house, it's just all their stuff.
It's just outside in the front or the side, yeah.
It sucks.
I got friends that live in there, and one of them was lucky enough to be like somehow, some way, I don't even know how this happened, but they didn't get damage, and everybody around them did.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, if you're in that area and you get hit once, I don't know why you stay, simply because, and I know people that have rebuilt on like 5 and 6 foot foundations just to try and avoid it, but man,
that's the worst part, because to my understanding, especially for those in Meyerland, a lot of those houses in Meyerland have been raised, and it costs somewhere along the, you know, something like $100,000 to $130,000 just to do that. There's like services out there that literally will pick your house up off the ground and kind of lay this little foundation under it to allow you to sit higher, and people still got hit. And it's just, to me, it's not worth it. Like I almost want to tell everybody who's buying a house in Meyerland, like right before they sign on the dotted line, just don't do it, because just don't. It's like, even if it's not that much rain, you're getting flooded in Meyerland. I just
build
hate
like
to say
a beach house style house.
Yeah.
Like one of the stories I saw on the news in Meyerland was the guy had suffered flood damage the last time. So the family rebuilds the house. It's like up on 6 feet of blocks, right?
Right.
So the house doesn't have any damage, but the garage, which is all cinder block.
Yeah, I saw that. The guy made his whole garage out cinder of block. Concrete yep. cinder block. Yeah.
So yeah, there's stuff, like there's contents inside
the
garage.
The garage? I'm not following.
No, so the whole garage, instead of, you know, like drywall on the inside, a lot of people put drywall and do things. It was all just cement.
Wow.
So because the house itself is raised so high, so he's like, yeah, we're going to have to throw out all this stuff, but at least we won't have any cinder block. I mean, we won't have any drywall damage. We don't have to rebuild anything because we just gut it and do it again. I was like, man, that's, you know how they say it takes a little bit of you every time you go through something like this?
Yeah, but I wonder how many times you can go through that.
There was a lady on the news that said this is her third time, and she will never be the same. I'm like, which time? I mean, each time it's got to hit
you
like a gut punch.
That was the lady that said the last time she said she was confident about rebuilding. She wanted to go through the process, and now she's like, okay, I'm a little worn out from this.
Yeah.
Time for me to move out of Meyerland.
That's just,
you got to go. As much as it costs, it's not worth the trauma, in my opinion.
But like what you guys were saying, here's the thing. I bought my house when my wife and her mom insisted we go out to the burbs. Last thing I looked at was, are we, you know, in a flood area? I just figured, you know, we're in the suburbs, it's going to be fine. We lucked out, but like now, for the rest of my life, if we ever buy another house, I'm going to be, before I sign on anything, I'm going to be like, so the elevation on this house is, and where the floodplains, and this, it really will scar you for life.
Yeah. Everything in that area between Meyerland and the city of Bel Air, a lot of those houses are built a bit higher because of the flood situation. But speaking of damage, I don't know if you're willing to reveal it, you might having to head somewhere after work, right?
You don't know
the extent of it yet.
I've been getting emails. We have a storage unit in downtown, and I was getting emails and such stating that they had been closed down because they had damage and that they'd refund you for the days that they weren't open. I'm not worried about all that, but our storage unit's on the second floor. So I've been all through the breaks yesterday, I started getting emails about still being damaged. So I was talking to the managers, and they're like, oh, you should be good. You can come down here and check it out. Now I get an email today that says, your area of the storage facility seems to be damaged, and you need to come down here. And I'm like,
that's the worst email in the world.
Yeah, that's a big gut punch. Because now I'm like,
and it's been a minute after the fact too. So you're probably thinking, oh, everything made it okay.
And you know, it was overflow stuff from our house. We already gutted one of them. We had two storage units, but I've got like all the cards I collected since I was a kid.
Yeah,
I've got a ton of autograph stuff that I collected since I was, you know, in sports. And I'm like, man, I cringe until I go down there. And again, the insurance companies, the storage companies are smart. They have you put everything and register your insurance, so they're not liable, even though it's their facility and their roof that leaked.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. But I talked to my insurance guy, and he said the one thing where we luck out is the fact that it wasn't a flood. It was because of the roof, which means hopefully it should be covered, but we'll see.
I think I'm going to die and never understand the terminology that comes with an insurance policy. I just don't get it. I just don't understand the lingo. I don't care to interpret it. I just don't care. It's just too, I mean, you should.
There's a lot.
You should definitely educate yourself about it. I just don't care.
I mean, you gotta figure how easy it is to be a storage facility when you get people to sign their life away and say, hey, and by the way, if we take damage, it's on you.
If it gets jacked, it's on you.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Is it though? Is it like that? Like if it gets stolen, it's still on you?
I don't know if it's stolen, but I know, well, again, because it's your lock that you put on
It's supposed to be a gated, most storage places are gated with some sort of
I'm sure there's code or lots of legal fees that could be absorbed while trying to figure it out.
Sense.
But when you put your lock on their storage unit, I think that has something to do with it too. But yeah, they have all of it written in their documents that you sign when you get the unit that basically puts no liability or damage on them. So
no Barry Laminex. Where's Barry anyway?
He said he was heading to the Valley.
The Valley with Andy Huggins, right?
With Andy Huggins. So, yeah, they got a gig. Now I'm hearing he should be back by tomorrow because Andy's going to get out of bed.
But we've got a stacked show today. We've got, three guests, which is not usual. We usually don't have three guests, but we have three guests coming up on the show.
Good ones, too.
Palmer of the NFL Network at 1:30.
Yep.
He's a guy that, you know, we can talk to him from a national perspective, but also Texans. He also covered the Broncos. We might even talk about Brock if you really wanted to, but we can preview the Texans and do a lot with him. And you've got your boy Blummer coming on.
Yeah, Jeff Blum coming on to talk after the Happy Verlander Day yesterday.
Yep.
And it turned out to be happy returns.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked out well. We'll have Verlander on. That's good.
And then a legal analyst, yeah. Terry Yates, who's been on the program or at least 1560. I don't know about ESPN. He's been on quite a bit. He's going to break down the Ezekiel Elliott situation. especially for you Cowboys fans out there who care. So check out Terry Yates at 3:30 Central today.
And if you have questions before Terry gets on, again, and or Blummer and or James Palmer, hit us up throughout the show. It's at producer T. Scott, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K on Twitter. Or just give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can ask the questions directly, or you can text to that number, and we will check text messages throughout the show. If we have good questions, we'll get them onto our guests. But we're here for you till 4 o'clock. We're going to be bringing you everything that we can, sports and otherwise, to keep you entertained. We hope you participate and become one of our usual suspects. Back with a whole lot more, ESPN 97.5. Right now I want to tell you guys about American Wheel and Tire. It's a fantastic wheel and tire place that's far more than just wheels and tires here in the Houston area. And you're not going to get screwed over like you would on some of these big national stores when you come in with a flat tire or damaged rim and they start dinging you with charges for a brand new rim and a brand new tire and all kinds of different costs that you didn't think were going to be adding up until you get the final bill. Mike and Tammy Gust have been in this Houston area and owned and operated this store for over 15 years, and I assure you, they're never going to steer you wrong. They're going to be honest up front, which is very key, and only charge you for what you really need. If you got a flat or a damaged rim, they can buff out the damage to the rim. They can fix the flat, and they won't charge you what it costs to buy a new tire and a new rim. They have factory rims as well as custom rims and tires, and they also do lift kits and all kinds of ways that you can jazz up your car or your SUV. Check out AmericanWheelAndTire.com for examples and samples of all the things that they've done for trucks and cars and all the vehicles that they like to soup up and take care of. And also, stop in when you're in the area or if you just need their service with a wheel or tire issue. 290 at 34th Street, just outside the Loop. American Wheel and Tire. They're going to take care of you. They're going to be honest with you, and you're going to go there every single time in the future when you need any issues taken care of with your wheels, your tires, or your car. 290 and 34th Street, American Wheel and Tire, or AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry on the road, Tyler, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, as we continue to roll on. It's a way back Wednesday, and we stated yesterday that we wanted to go with all Houston-based artists and a Houston-based theme simply because of everything that we've been through in the past week or so. So we'll kind of stay on that theme for today.
Big fan of this Paul Wall song, by the way. I loved the song when it came out.
Yeah, my wife was not. She's like, I know who he is. I don't.
Not a fan of him?
No. And she's like, I couldn't name any songs. I'm like, that's cool. You just stick to like the Beyonce songs.
Paul Wall is definitely not for everybody.
No, that's true. But his grills could be, you know,
he's
for
got
everybody.
Them grills.
The grills is for everybody.
Johnny is his guy. I forgot his name. Johnny.
Oh, he the keeps jeweler. I know you're talking Johnny about the Johnny, the jeweler. Yep. Johnny the jeweler. Yep. Johnny the jeweler. I know you're talking about. Johnny the jeweler. Tyler, you going to get a grill anytime soon?
Negative.
Diamond crusted eye teeth or something
Tom
like that?
Tom Herman got one.
I mean, if I got Tom one, Herman did I'd get probably one. Just sell it.
Because they're like apparently worth like 10 grand or something.
Yeah.
Depends on what you put in them, right? It depends on if you got the jewels and stuff in the grills, otherwise just the metallic look. Some people just go with the brass or gold or silver.
I want to say that's a dying thing, though. I don't know if he's making that much money. It's more like for fun more than anything else now. It used to be like a fashion statement. I don't know if it's – I guess it is a fashion statement for some people.
I think it's seen its time, past its date.
I'm with you.
We'll see. Okay, so we've got lots to get to today. We've already told you about the great guests we've got lined up. James Palmer, the NFL Network. Jeff Blum will join us, the Astros TV analyst. At 2 o'clock, Terry Yates, a legal analyst on the Ezekiel Elliott case at 3:30. And lots to get to in the sporting world. We know that Justin Verlander and the other guy that has always kind of been known as the other guy, oh, by the way, in the last two transactions made by the Astros, at the waiver claim deadline. But Cameron Maybin has turned out to be quite the acquisition for your Houston Astros, as he made sure Verlander ended out his first outing with the Astros a winner last night, and that was exciting in itself.
He's an exciting person to watch, and I think one of the reasons why he's becoming a fan favorite, including myself, is because of his personality. I tend to lump in the skill with how he reacts to media just because I'm always out to some of these games, and you know how I kind of I talk a little too much about how people respond to the media. I love I don't know if it's just because it's a new addition. He's on a new team, a new feel, kind of a fresh start. But not just the fact that he can hit, he can steal, he can play defense, but the fact that he reacts well with the media. I love Maven.
See, that's the big thing too. I mean, look, I kind of took to the kid when I saw Players Weekend and he had the Spider-Man cleats and he had on the Spider-Man cleats it said Spider Maven. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Then they made the deal for him, and I thought, well, he's just kind of Jake Mariznick 2.0. Mm-hmm. But to your point, look, he wasn't hitting that well with the Angels, but since he's gotten here, he's hitting not only for average, but he's getting hits for RBIs. But look, he's gone yard twice already, and a guy that had single digit home runs, and they've come up in some pretty big spots. I want to ask Blummer about the fact that the one guy that might be kind of scratching his temple on this whole thing is Jake Mariznick, because Jake Mariznick's having a heck of a year too. But it seems like because they are similar players, they play the same position, they have the same kind of game, that maybe the one guy that's going to suffer because of the acquisition of Cameron Maben could be Jake Mariznick, because he hasn't played since Maben got acquired at the deadline.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what Maben can do. It's going to be really interesting to see how he pans out for the rest of the season. But I think we've got some audio of Cameron Maben. Tyler?
Try to pass the torch. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, this team has been playing great team baseball, you know, and everybody's has something to do with this success. So, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, fit into the mold of just trying to help out, you know, be a spark, you know, defensively and offensively. You know, put what we work on in the cage, you know, in the play during the game, and, you know, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the other thing that's kind of unsung in all this is he came up through the farm system of the Tigers with Justin Verlander. So when Verlander got here, you know, he basically said, I don't know anybody, and then realized, and the AT&T Sportsnet interview they had before the game last night was great with Julia Morales, where he kind of talked about all things making this transition and basically said, look, it was good to have Cameron Maben, because Cameron Maben was with the Tigers organization and system with him. And he said he knew McCann, but other than that, he really didn't have any kind of relationships. I think that's kind of going kind of on the wayside, that people aren't paying enough attention to that. But it's nice to know that those two guys knew each other before, you know, they both got brought into Houston.
Yeah, I remember in his first game, or I want to say his second game back, he was talking about Verlander's work ethic and how he's an extreme competitor and how he's always trying to win. He's always trying to win. I think one thing that you called was how he would finish the game, because he started out normal and then he started with, I think he ended with a 99 mile per hour slider.
You know, one of the things that I had said, I'm always a big fan of pitching, and as you know, I pitched all the way through college, and I've always been a Verlander fan, but I've seen him pitch in person. I've seen him pitch a lot over the years, and I know that normally to start games, and I don't know what, you know, his workout, you know, I mean, his warm-up routine is, but normally starting games, he's around 93, 94, you know, doesn't really peak out. But one thing that's been just like a freak of nature for me is late in games, he's hit triple digits. He's hit 100 miles an hour. As most guys get tired, and that means your velocity goes down. This is one of those rare guys where his velocity actually goes up. And I said yesterday, leading into the game last night, look, I look for him to be a little faster, throwing a little harder early in the game, because I think he's going to be jacked up. I think he's going to be all excited, new team, new environment, you know, a lot of little extra pressures that you don't normally have in a regular season game. And sure enough, right away off the bat, first inning, he's throwing 97, and he's consistently over 95 in the 97 range. But then what was even more remarkable to me, his last pitch was at 99, and you're like, man, this guy, for the amount of wear and tear that he puts on his arm year in, year out, and the guys were talking about how many, you know, consecutive starts, six innings or more. How many of his last five starts, I think almost all of them were over 100 pitches, some of them in the 115 range. He's got a durable arm, but it shows you that he's still got velocity and strength in that wing, because to finish a game throwing 99, that's pretty impressive.
How is he going to be able to keep that up, though, for the rest of the regular season and going into the postseason, you think?
You know, here's the thing that I thought. A couple people were tweeting me on it last night and this morning, and the one thing that I said that was key was, I don't think in Detroit he has the bullpen that he has here. So the fact that he only had to go six last night, he probably could have gone longer. He probably could have racked up more pitches. But I think that it's a blessing in disguise that now the Astros have those seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guys and all the extra guys in the bullpen that he didn't have in Detroit. So even though he could go longer and throw more, I think this is a blessing for the Astros because now shut him down after six last night, did his job, had left with the, you know, got the lead thanks to the home run, left with the lead, got the win, and he doesn't take that extra wear and tear on his arm. So come playoff time, because of your bullpen, you got a guy that's maybe more fresh than he would have been if the Tigers were in a playoff chase because they'd be, you know, running him into the ground trying to get every ounce out of him.
Well, that's good to know because he was certainly excited going in to his first start. Six innings pitched, 103 pitches, seven strikeouts. Here's a tweet. Man, this feels like going to my first day at a new school. Hashtag nervous, hashtag excited, hashtag glass case of emotion. So real happy for Justin Verlander and the Astros. And if you're an Astros fan, you got to be really excited about having him on the team.
Well, and hashtag Kate Upton was there too, hashtag.
Oh, yeah.
And
I didn't
by
get
the way,
see any good looks, though.
Yeah, I saw a couple. But, I mean, she was looking more like a sports chick at a game.
Yeah, she looked a little plain.
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah. I was saying to you guys.
He wasn't that impressed either.
I wasn't. Nick and I in the production meeting, I'm looking at her going, you know, I can see now why a lot of guys go, eh. I mean, I know she has assets that people are fans
of.
Yeah,
the upper body supplements for a lot.
Right. And I know, you know, Barry has said square torso, but look, Tyler, you hit it on the head. That's the first thing I said. All the shots last night, I'm like, kind of plain Jane-ish. Like, there's like, literally, if she's already in her seat, there's like someone that the common fan and the common people that go to baseball games aren't going to immediately flock to, point out, and go to.
Kind of just glance past her.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's like really hot if there's like five other dudes around her. Like, because if there's only guys around her, then she looks like extraordinarily hot. But among other girls, she's not that hot.
I mean, she blends into the crowd if she's already sitting down. Now, if she's standing up and walking by you, I mean, you...
might be a different story.
Yeah, you see what's on display and you realize it, so...
James Palmer next.
Yeah, we got James Palmer coming up next. We'll have a couple of quotes from Verlander coming up before we get to Blummer. So a lot on the agenda, and if you want to join the show, please do. 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with James Palmer of the NFL Network. All that and more next, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Welcome to the land where they just don't stop. Trunks pop, tops drops, in the front end hop.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Producer T. Scott playing his favorite Beyonce song as we come back from break. I couldn't name one for you, except for Halo. And I said to Lisa, and I don't want to bring everybody down with Halo, but then again, there it is.
Honestly, I just picked the very first one that was on Spotify, and that's going to be the only Beyonce song.
The one and only Beyonce song he's going to play.
It's probably going to be my theme song in a couple of years when I just have a halo of hair. I got a haircut today, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I won't be getting many haircuts the rest of my life, but we'll see. I'll be in the Nick Sciarra Club very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, hey, we've got a special guest for you, one of many coming up on the show today, a former member of the CSN Houston team, now on Bigger and Better Things on the NFL Network. You can catch him at James Palmer TV on Twitter. But a great source of information 24 hours a day, well, at least when he's not sleeping, on NFL, Texans, and otherwise. James, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you joining us and having some time with us.
Oh, no problem, guys. No problem at all. Yeah, I just swung by the old CSN headquarters, laid down a single rose. It was nice to get back in town. I love coming back to Houston. It's been a wild journey being with this club since Dallas, Mass.
I think it's going to be called the Alias Sports Network because it changes names so frequently, but at least they're still up and running.
Network to be named later.
That's right. So catching up with you real quick, obviously a lot to talk about NFL-wise and Texans-wise, but just your initial thoughts right off the top on the fact that J.J. Watt, with everything that's happened in Houston, has now exceeded $25 million as he raises funds and brings in goods for relief efforts here in the city.
It's been unbelievable. I mean, it's nothing short of unbelievable. I mean, on Sunday when they went to those four locations and they give out 10 semi-trucks worth of supplies, and yet he is sitting on the bus next to me, and he's like, dude, I haven't spent a penny of what was $17.5 million when we were sitting there, and he hasn't spent a single dime of it. And just to be with him for that entire day and to see how hands-on he is, I wrote an article about that day on NFL.com, and just kind of, he's not just raising the money. Like, he the night before is in there telling all the volunteers it needs to go like this, this, and this. And I wrote in the article, I mean, there's professionals, let alone professional football players, that can organize people during a time of crisis like this, and he's been nothing short of miraculous. And talking to people around him and spending that day with him, I'm asking all of them, you know, how much hands-on is he on this? And they're just like, his hands are on all of it. What do you mean? I mean, he told me outside of a 2 to 3 hour workout a day since they got back into Houston on, what was that, Wednesday, outside of that 2 to 3 hour workout a day, every single second that he was awake was spent on this fundraising effort and on what they were trying to accomplish on Sunday. And I can't stress it enough because I want people to know that how hands-on he actually is. He didn't just try to start something himself, which he literally, I know for a fact, started it himself. He's just been such a part of it, and it's been all of his time, and now he has to kind of switch gears today, which is why he told me that I asked him, you know, what do you do to get through the day? And he's like, I got to put my phone on airplane mode. I mean, I got to put it on airplane mode while I'm at the facility, lift, work out, meetings, and then I can go back to what I'm doing. But it's been nothing short of unbelievable as I talk to people around the league. They're just wowed by it.
Yeah, there's no question what he's doing is unbelievable, and I recently learned that Jimmy Fallon is going to donate as well, so I think that's pretty cool. We'll get back to some text and stuff here shortly because I definitely want to get more of your take on that. But real quick, I want to jump into the Zeke Elliott stuff. I'm just going to read a quick snippet of the statement that was released by his attorneys. The evidence that Mr. Elliott and his team presented on appeal clearly demonstrated that Mr. Elliott was the victim of a conspiracy orchestrated by the National Football League. So my question to you is, how much truth is that, or is just the attorneys playing their game?
Well, you know, in terms of legalities of it, I mean, obviously every attorney is going to represent their client the best they can, and how much truth stands behind each statement in terms of usually an attorney's mind is, how much truth can I have behind this statement within the legalities of a courtroom? And that's kind of where the gray area always comes. If I can prove something within court and within the manipulation of the legal system, then yeah, I can more or less find a way to make this somewhat true. And it's kind of an interesting situation with the entire process, because it's the debate whether, you know, there's one side trying to more or less evaluate the character of the victim, and at the same time, maybe the proper evaluation of Zeke's character from that side is not being skewed out there in the proper stance. So it's such a strange and complex situation about a lot of he said, she said. Is she the right type of person? Where did she have the right intentions? When it comes down to, in terms of intentions, did it factually happen? And that's where the, you know, things were dropped in terms of a legal sense, and that's why the NFL has their own approach and why different evidence has been on each side, and that's why this has been so complicated in the past situations with anything dealing with domestic violence, in a sense, in the NFL has been so scrutinized because there hasn't been a constant really barometer the entire time. It's really, and obviously should be, a case-by-case basis. Some people want it to be similar to things that go on with PEDs, to where you know how many games you're going to get. But I think that's just an area that you can't get into because, again, every instance is different. And his is different than Ray Rice, and everyone is different. I think that's where everybody always gets into the argument. I think the process this goes through, and the longer it drags out, I think you're either, A, going to find out more, or that maybe some people don't want to find out, or, B, you're going to be left with more questions.
Well, that's the question I have, James, is how long is this thing going to draw out for? Because like you said, you know, we've already found out probably more than we need to know about Ezekiel Elliott and his sex life and what he's done to, you know, and things with women. Then it becomes a he said, she said. But the bottom line is now he's been cleared to play the opener against the Giants on national TV, which, of course, will get a lot of exposure. But how long before all of this gets played out, whether it be in the court of public opinion or just the court, and we get a final?
Yeah, that's the instance where, you know, eventually there has to be the thought process, and you can kind of debate, obviously, a completely different stage of circumstances with Tom Brady, but when you start going into the thought process of some of these games might be deeper in the season, if we keep playing this out, he could potentially be missing games down the final stretch of the season if it continues to drag through December and he misses games that are in the teens and potentially they can be playoff games. And you eventually could get to a point to where the Cowboys and Zeke Elliott go kind of the way Brady did, is, you know, I'm just going to take it and I'm going to take it now so it doesn't affect us later, if that makes sense. Or you can continue to do what Brady did the first time around and fight it for an entire year, and then, you know, maybe Zeke plays the entire season, and then it can drag out. The way it can drag out in terms of courts is something that they need to gauge, because it might come turn around and bite them if they can continue to try to fight it to the lengths that they seem fit, and then he still ends up losing and misses games in December is a lot different than missing games in September.
We're speaking with James Palmer of the NFL Network here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com at James Palmer TV on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. I think the landscape has changed a bit with the advent of Deshaun Watson and what the Texans have had to do to get him on the roster. Does this completely change the landscape of the AFC South? Where are you on the Texans in terms of winning that division?
I think, obviously, with the defense they have and what I saw them do covering that playoff game up in New England, and what they did without J.J. Watt on the field, and that diamond defense they ran, which we'll see, you know, with the change of DCs how it works. But I would only think with a healthy J.J. Watt, it's going to be an even better defense. And I think you mentioned Deshaun Watson. I mean, I really want to see what Tom Savage can do, considering there's been no sample size large enough to really see what he can bring to the table. If he doesn't turn the football over, which the largest sample size we had to go back to was when he was the starter at Pitt and he threw, like, I don't know, roughly 400 passes and had like 9 picks, that's pretty dang good. So if he protects the football in a sense, he has an unbelievable relationship with Hopkins and they run the ball well with Foreman and Miller. I mean, I think they can win this division again. But the biggest threat I think they have is the Titans got a lot better. And I really like what Tennessee has done. I really, really like that offensive line. They've made the right play with the certain players that they've brought in. I thought McCourty was a really good pickup for them in the secondary because of his ability to be a really good tackler, play inside and out. And I think Marcus Mariota is one of those guys that there's a small group of young quarterbacks right now in Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Mariota, Jameis Winston that are looking to be the guys to kind of take the torch from that Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers group, and who are going to be the new stars of the NFL, and I think Mariota has a really good chance to do that. They solved their quarterback situation just a little bit sooner than maybe the Texans had if Deshaun Watson turns out, but I think right now, defensively, the Texans are probably top two, in my book, in the NFL, and if that defense can continue to ball out and if they can force turnovers and Tom Savage doesn't turn the ball over, they can be better than Tennessee, but I still, my prediction would be Tennessee wins the AFC South.
Okay, James, with all that being said, we talked quarterbacks, you talked about the defense, let's talk about the offense, because you were talking about production from the running game and all those other things. In order to do all those things, as we know, it's decided in the trenches, that offensive line with a lot of question marks. Where are you on the Duane Brown situation? Because all the audio that I've heard from him as he's doing great things in the community is, I want to play football this year. Not mentioning the Texans. We also saw from the flip side, Rick Smith taking care of guys that were in camp. It seems like we're still at a standstill. I thought he might be in camp already this week because, you know, in order to get those checks, you got to be ready for the first game. But where are you on this Duane Brown situation?
I think right now, and I was just talking to the people here in the building, it's a really interesting spot. Since the CBA in 2011, there's only been two guys who missed games, right? Remember when Cam Chancellor missed games up in Seattle, it took him a long time to get back to the player that he is,
yep.
And Carson Palmer missing games. Now we're going into week one, we're going to have two guys miss games in just week one already, and it was two guys since 2011, and it's Aaron Donald, who's arguably up with J.J. Watt and Von Miller, maybe the best defensive players in football. Some people think Aaron Donald's the best player. Yep. In football, he's holding out. He's not even on the same coast as his team. At least Duane's in the same city. You could say that's progress, right? But at the same time, they don't negotiate during the regular season. You've seen Rick Smith and company. They don't really negotiate during the season. That's a line that they've really drawn. And if you look at where Duane stands, he's got 2 years left on this deal. And he's like the, I think, 11th highest paid left tackle this season and the 12th highest paid left tackle the following season. The crux of the whole situation is those seasons aren't guaranteed. And he's really shown that he was losing $40,000 a day during camp, and he was willing to you know, put his foot down and make it seem that you know, he means business, and it appears that he is. It's an unbelievable type of stare down for both of these situations, because once you start losing games for the team, you start looking, how can we make our team better? Should we cave? When you start losing game checks for the player, you start thinking, oh, man, this is really starting to become real. So it's going to be kind of one of those who blinks first. In terms of this offensive line, they need Dwayne Brown. I mean, they yep. need Dwayne Brown. So I think it's a difficult stance. When I talk to players, it's, you know, he's got to take care of himself. He's got to take care of what he has to do. But at the same time, you start losing games, you're going to start going, bro, I mean, we need you out here. You know what I mean? So I think really it's going to come down to where Rick Smith or the representation of Dwayne Brown, who blinks first, because who needs who more, in a sense.
So gut feeling, as before we let you go, real quick, your gut feeling, at the end of the day, is he a Texan, or are they trading him, or is something else happening?
There's been talk with some trade stuff, and there's been talk around the league about what Dwayne Brown's availability is. I think if he's a smart man, he would want to play for this team, and I don't really know exactly what he's asking for. If I were Dwayne, I would say I want these two years fully guaranteed, and then yep. he could retire after those 2 years.
Right.
And if that's the stance, it's hard to do for an owner. It's hard to do for a front office. But at the same time, he thought if that's the case and he's not asking for any more money, well, then maybe it might be a different story.
Good stuff, James. We always appreciate you spending some time with us. Appreciate you stopping in. Don't be a stranger. You can catch him on NFL Network. You can also follow him as a great follow on Twitter, at James Palmer TV. James Palmer, thanks so much for your time, and have a great year.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
James Palmer right there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. 2 o'clock, we've got Jeff Blum of the Astros Television Network coming up. Later, we'll get into the Ezekiel Elliott situation even further as we get knee-deep into some legal mumbo-jumbo, Nick, with Terry Yates. So we've got a lot more to go. It's Tyler, it's Nick, it's Joel. The Usual Suspects rolls on right here on ESPN 97.5.
I'm good to go, good to go, good to go.
ESPN 97.5.
A 25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry on the road doing funny stuff, so that means that Tyler Scott, Nick Sciarra, and yours truly here until 4 o'clock with The Usual Suspects. Great stuff from James Palmer, I thought.
He really brought it. I liked what he said about Brown. I liked what he said about Watt. He really brought it. I mean, he brings an inside information, you know, being a guy that's covered teams in specific in the NFL before. So I like what he brings to the table.
Yeah, a few people have said that some of the Texans players might have a little of their feathers ruffled, that JJ's getting a lot of attention
yeah.
off all this. And it was great to hear James Palmer say how hands-on he is with all of this and how he had to put his phone on airplane mode just to concentrate on football for a couple hours, and he goes right back to it. But look, I'll be the first one to tell you that from time to time in the past, I've said, okay, I think he's playing people a little bit. I think he's overexposed. Everything that he has done here has changed me for the rest of his career. I mean, it's phenomenal.
And I didn't want to mention this. I told myself that I wouldn't. But we all remember the little, you know, when he took to social media in the last flood, and he went to NRG or the practice facility, and he was, you know, hitting weights. He's like, look, rain, you know, heat, storm, whatever. I'm at work, and he got a lot of heat for doing that, because people, even though the flood was on a lot smaller level, people were losing their homes, and it was kind of an inappropriate tweet. So I promised myself I wouldn't mention that, but look.
Way to stay true to yourself, Nick.
Yeah, but when you do something like this, I think it overshadows everything. It makes up for it, so it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, look, what he's done, and that amount of money, when you talk about when people are throwing around 100 to 200 million to really do what needs to be done in this city, and just him alone taking 25 mil plus.
Yeah, it's his popularity that's bringing in people like Jimmy Fallon, who we'll hear from a little bit later on the show, and other big names with deep pockets. I think HEB is the latest or the most recent.
Yeah, as of this morning, Scott McClellan, as well as the founder and CEO of HEB, donating $5 million. Yeah.
That's great.
To the J.J. Watt Foundation. It's just extraordinary what he's been able
to do. If he wasn't associated with HEB, we might not see the $5 million that was raised. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a part of the fact that he's popular, the fact that he has connections in a way, directly or indirectly, with some of these celebrities, it helps.
No doubt. And so Palmer's comments there were great, just about the fact that even sitting on the bus with him and as he was doing the things that he was doing, how you could tell it was all him. It wasn't his people
right.
or others.
But what about the Dwayne Brown situation? I thought it was really interesting when he said, if he's not asking for more money and he's just asking for the 2 years to be guaranteed, I think he was trying to imply that maybe the Texans should show a little leniency and just give him that. But we don't know. He doesn't know the details. He doesn't know if Brown is actually, you know, asking for more money in addition to the guaranteed contract over the next two seasons.
Right. And we said, look, there was no other time like the present because of the situation with how questionable the offensive line play has been for the Texans, that this was his time to try and go for it one last time. But at first you heard rumblings he just wanted those 2 years guaranteed. Then you heard he wanted more money. I heard him in sound bites start talking about wanting to play football this year but not mention the Texans. That's when I started thinking, maybe this is a divorce instead of...
I don't think anybody's looking into that too much. The fact that I want to play football and he's not mentioning Texans, I think he did that intentionally. I don't think we're looking too much into it.
And James even said, hey, there's been discussions about, there's been people calling about trades. So, hey, Daryl wants to get in here right now on Dwayne Brown's. Let's get Daryl in here and get his thoughts. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing today, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
What's up, man?
I'm all right. I'm on this 610 stuck in all this traffic. But listen here, I was listening to you guys. I was listening to Daryl Palmer, the Palmer guy. Okay, now, if Dwayne Brown, whether he want any more money, if he want more money, give him more money for the simple fact they gave Brock Osweiler so much money and wasn't worth two pennies. You understand? And
yeah.
Like you say, if he want to guarantee the 2 years, why not give him that and let the man go and play football and I'll hang up and listen?
Appreciate the call, Daryl. Look, I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at this, but we remember the Andre Johnson situation, right? This came up a couple of times, and it was, look, if you truly want to retire this guy into your ring of honor, if you truly want this guy to retire a Texan, it's not the wrong thing to do to just guarantee those final 2 years. He has been the pillar of your offensive line since you started to get good and get better. So from a lot of different and he is fair market value right now. Now, if there's more money involved, and as James said, the Texans have had kind of a policy that they don't want to negotiate, especially during the season, then that brings other factors into it. But if it's just guaranteeing those 2 years and taking care of a guy that has been a staple of your franchise, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. You got to look at the position too. Brock Osweiler is obviously a quarterback, and as much heat as the Texans have gotten over the past, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 seasons about how they approach, how they add quarterbacks, they had to make a splash with Brock Osweiler. So I kind of give, last year, I kind of give the Texans a little bit of an excuse when it comes down to Brock. They had to pay him. They had to make a splash, and really, Texans fans were not really all up in arms when they made the deal for Brock Osweiler. They were actually okay with it because they know they needed a quarterback. They make the move again to kind of wash their hands of Brock and add Deshaun. It'd be interesting to see when he starts, but it's a completely different position. It's a completely different dynamic, and you have to realize the leverage that Brock has as a player when other teams are giving him offers. So I don't know. Maybe there is offers that Dwayne Brown is getting that we just don't know of, but nothing has come out yet, so we don't know that.
Well,
yet.
I think the Texans are getting calls. I think in any case, if you're a general manager worth anything, when you see a situation like this, look, I'm sure the Rams are getting calls about Aaron Donald simply because of the fact that, look, sometimes these situations work themselves out, sometimes they don't. If they can get in and get a potential steal, that's how Daryl Morey got James Harden. So you're not doing your job if you're not trying to get in there and see exactly what's going on and is there a shot we might be able to get a guy of this caliber. So I'm sure that there's discussions being had. I just said by the simple fact of what Dwayne Brown said, whether it was positioning or not, I just felt like, and posturing, I felt like his statement there told me a lot in terms of, I want to play football. I'm not necessarily saying I want to go back to the Texans.
Kind of a scary subliminal message only because you don't know how much damage has been done. You don't know if he's like really mad at the Texans and the organization and Bob McNair and O'Brien and all that. We don't know that yet, but it'll be interesting to see.
All right, so we got some NFL out of the way, and we'll get to it again if you guys want to talk about that. Also touching on the Ezekiel Elliott situation later in the show. But coming up next, it's Jeff Blum of AT&T Sportsnet and your Houston Astros, as we'll delve into a whole lot of topics, including for Jeff on text messages, how hot Kate Upton is and how we don't want to ruffle any feathers because, gosh darn it, Justin's probably listening in Seattle right now, and we don't want to offend him. He's got two more years on his contract. We'll have Jeff Blum next. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It gets no love. She be cross country giving all that she got. A thousand a pop, I'm pulling billions off the lot. I smash. The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident,
not twice,
and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got it in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save.